So thank you so much for selecting my abstract for the conference. What I'm going to talk about is somewhat different from the from a majority theme in the conference. So as a disclaimer, I would say I will have basically nothing to say about quantum gravity, but hopefully something about the quantum in there, and in particular about a very traditional problem that faces this theory since the beginning, namely the problem of predicting the statistics of detection times of a particle. So I can see Carlo nodding because he has written papers about it. So let me dive right into the subject so that I can save time for good discussion. So whatever I'm going to say is completely based on this very recent paper, and it's already out, so you can see it. So if I skip any references, they're completely from here. So I hope you will have no problem following in the details if you want to do so. Okay, so let me begin by means of a review, a very short, quick review of the situation, although some of you, I'm sure, are aware of it, but just for completeness. So what am I interested in is a very standard scattering question. So what you have on the left is basically a scintillation detector, let's say, and in the center, what's written as support of psi zero is indicating an initial wave function that you might prepare a particle in. And the question is, if you take the time of preparation to be time zero, what's the distribution of times at which the detector clicks? So you can call it arrival time, detection time, and there are other names. But experimentally speaking, the question is pretty clear. And the theoretical question, or if you like an abstraction of a theoretical question, would be given some initial localized wave function or quantum state psi zero, and some mathematical or geometrical surface, here I write dou g, what's the probability p of tau, d tau, that the particle is detected on the given surface between time tau and tau plus d tau. Now, as I have formulated it here, you can see it immediately demands the normalization of the form written below. So if you integrate over all possible detection times, you should get one. There are minor generalizations you can allow here, namely you can add a sort of non-detection probability on the left, accounting for basically the fraction of experiments in which nothing was detected. So in those cases, you wouldn't be able to define the arrival time or detection time. So this is a rough scheme. And it's not hard now to motivate that quantum mechanics really doesn't have a unique answer to this sort of a question. I think the quickest evidence for it is just the number of competing proposals that are available in the literature, and none of which make the same prediction, basically. And then the next question is, what are the ideas? Sorry, not the question, but where do we get on from here? Like, is this much input enough to come up with some reasonable prediction? Answer is usually no. People sometimes need additional free parameters to model detectors. And so there are many ideas, which I certainly don't have the time to follow us to cover, but I have actually followed this research for quite some time and have surveyed many of the approaches available. What I'm going to talk about is a very particular class of approaches, which is by today's time a bit ancient, but they have raised certain questions which, to my understanding, have never been addressed. And here I'm going to raise some further issues with them. Okay, so let's focus on just a one-dimensional situation so that we can cover as much in very little time, disregarding all the three-dimensional considerations. So imagine, you know, you have a particle moving on a line, and you have initially a localized wave packet of some width, and it's placed roughly at a distance L from a detector. And we want to predict the arrival time distribution as in the previous slide. One of the early ideas in this direction actually goes back to 1960s by Aharonov and Bohm and Powell, but his paper is not so widely known because it was in German, so I guess not many people read it. But the idea was simple. They mostly wanted to follow the recipe of quantum mechanics, namely start with some expression for the classical arrival time of a particle moving on a line and just put hats on it, hoping to find a reasonable quantum observable that is, you know, a well-defined self-adjoint operator on the usual Hilbert space so that you can, you know, do the usual predictive recipe. Well, I mean, they started with this expression, which has kind of become the starting point of most publications in the literature. And I'm sometimes already surprised there, because that is a wrong formula, even classically speaking. I mean, the correct formula for a initial phase space point Z and P, so Z and P are the initial position and momentum of a classical particle in one dimension. The correct formula really should be the nasty thing written below. Now, good luck to the people who want to put hats, because there is just really no way to, you know, do something about that expression below. But this is just the most mild of the complaints that I'm going to present today. So let's continue with the expression there. And so there are two popular quantization procedures in the literature, one due to Harnov and Bohm, and much developed by many authors later. All the references, as before, are in the paper that I just showed you in the second slide. The second one is due to Grote, Rovelli, and Tate. So Carlo's proposal, I think it's from 96 or 97, if I'm not mistaken. So you can see that the issue here is P and Z do not commute. So you have to make some choices of ordering, and then there are different ideas available. So I don't want to say much about the mathematical subtleties of defining these operators. There is much on that in the literature, and that's also not the real thrust of my presentation today. One interesting thing that was very early on observed about both these operators, at least formally, was that they commute with the free Hamiltonian, that's P squared over 2m, in the way you would like, right? They are canonically conjugate operators. So this gave much motivation in the beginning to study these operators further on. I think this was a strong motivation. By the way, I didn't say it quickly. I have set h bar and m and the width of the initial wave function to one. So in case you don't see masses floating around, that's just one there, okay? All right, and the moment you see that commutation relation, it immediately, you know, begs the question, is there an associated time, energy, uncertainty relation that you can define in the usual way? I'll have more to say about that in a minute. And this commutation relation was already used by Pauli in 1933 to sort of declare that there is no time operator in quantum mechanics and so on. Maybe some of you know that. I don't want to say much about that, because that's again not the main thrust of my presentation. Okay, neither of these operators are self-adjoint. And one thing that has been much passed over in silence is that they all have negative eigenvalues. And for that matter, these operators define arrival times, arrival time distributions, which have to be normalized over all arrival time values from minus infinity to infinity. Otherwise, they are not even normalized properly as probability distributions. As I was saying, they're not self-adjoint, so they wouldn't define observables in the traditional sense, in the traditional von Neumann, Dirac sense. But people have moved on from that, right? We have quantum information people in the conference who prefer to work with generalized observables, so-called positive operator valued measures. And both these formal quantizations lead to basically the same arrival time distribution in the end, in the sense of POVM, in the sense of a POVM. And I wrote down the expression for you below. It may be useful to remember this expression, I mean, not the details, but well, it's some integral you perform. The idea here is to really look at the Fourier components of the initial wave function. That's this bracket here, P psi zero. And well, that's all that matters for now. And then we say more about it in the future, okay? All right, so this is a reasonable distribution. It has gone under the name of Harnov and Bohm's arrival time distribution, although they did not find this. It was found by later authors. So where does this lead us? I mean, at least you have a physical prediction. Will it agree with experiment? That would have been the next question. Do some experiments, forget these subtleties for a minute and see if it makes some contact with data. Well, there is unfortunately not much experimental interest in the arrival time problem so far. And that's a whole talk in itself. Maybe I'll say something more about it in the future slides. I already commented about the kind of normalization that you want. And this question of negative arrival times was really, I mean, really passed over in silence, in my opinion. There was a suggestion that this might suggest that the quantum state was prepared at infinite past and it somehow magically evolved into the initial state at time zero. I never followed that argument. But the crux of these suggestions was to take the integral of the distribution over all negative arrival times to be the non-detection probability. So that's okay as a concrete proposal. That means for all positive times, you interpret this pi AB as the arrival time distribution, and the total integral for negative arrival times, which is less than one, as some non-detection probability. That's fine. Now, the problem with that is if you discard by hand the negative arrival times, you kind of fail to apply standard quantum formulas for expectation values because they automatically depend on negative arrival times. I'm surprised that this was not pointed out until, you know, in our paper. I thought the amount of mathematical machinery that goes into this kind of research is quite heavy, and you would expect people to notice these things, but it was not. And this has consequences, namely, so let me say one of the consequences here is if you were to use the standard quantum formulas to compute the expectation values, like just sandwich the operator between initial state, you can show that for this operator or for this distribution that I showed you after some work, that the expectation value for any general state is written in this form. So there's the formula below, which the details are unimportant. But an important consequence of this is that for any real valued initial wave function, just think of a Gaussian, for example, like I drew here in this picture, the expectation value vanishes completely. Any real valued wave function, disregarding how far it is placed from the detection point and what it looks like and so on. And that's just a mathematical consequence which cannot be avoided if you want to continue using the expectation value formulas of standard quantum mechanics. So, well, I mean, that if expectation value vanishes, that sort of implies that all arrivals are instantaneous if you repeat the experiment again and again, preparing the same initial state. So that is one issue there. The other issue was more than an issue. This has to do with the possibility of a time energy uncertainty relation. I think a lot of authors are very excited about it, and it has been quite generally accepted and uncritically so that this mechanism, what I'm showing you so far, is sort of a basis for a reasonable time energy uncertainty relation in quantum mechanics. But it turns out that to define these delta t, the expectation value of the second moment, or okay, I mean the usual delta t formulas, this pi AB is not good, because unless the initial state decays a certain, you know, suitably quickly in the momentum space around p equals zero, the second moments are no longer finite. You see? So, and by the way, that that condition led some authors to suggest that let us exclude those states which do not fulfill this, because uncertainty relation is more important. And this excludes, unfortunately, very reasonable initial states like Gaussians. You see, the minimum that I think experiments require us to do is to have a normalizable probability distribution. And for that, this p of tau should just decay a little faster than 1 over t. But if you want uncertainty relation to hold, you want much stronger decays, which is a bit superfluous to the arrival time issue, the way I look at it. And then even if you throw out such states and you want to work with the remaining wave functions in the Hilbert space, which give you reasonable delta t, the fact that you have to throw out the negative arrival times to get reasonable expectation values immediately implies that the Robertson-Schrödinger uncertainty relation, which we want at the end of the day, will not hold. And this, of course, was pointed out by authors before. So negative arrival times are quintessential for that inequality, for the uncertainty relation, which I think was the main motivation for pursuing these directions. And negative arrival times would imply unphysical predictions, like zero expectation value and so on. Anyway, moving on, the same distribution was later rediscovered by Kichowski. His approach is very popular. A lot of people have followed on this and tried to generalize it. I will have not much to say about it due to lack of time, but first of all, Kichowski tried to go a little more three-dimensional. So his proposal works for arrivals on a flat plane. So let's say I choose a Cartesian coordinate system and look at the plane at z equals L. So he also considered only freely moving particles for which the time evolution in momentum space is given by just multiplication by that evolution exponential. And initially, he restricted attention to wave functions whose momentum in the direction of propagation, mainly he's looking at the z direction, that is the direction perpendicular to the plane of arrival. He wanted initial wave functions that are only supported for positive momentum in that direction. He called them right moving wave functions, or maybe later authors called them right moving wave functions, that doesn't matter. And he sought the final distribution of arrival times in this form. So f here is a bilinear functional of the quantum state, and he looked at possibilities of f and the arrival time distribution of this form. Well, it will not pop up on its own, so he had to put in a lot of naturally motivated axioms for this f. So I don't think I can discuss more about why he needs these axioms. Of course, if f has to be a probability distribution, it better be positive. He wanted the probability, the arrival time distribution to be the same for an initial wave function and its conjugate. He also wanted a certain invariance with respect to transformations that leave the plane of arrival invariant. So if you do rotations or if you translate along the plane of arrival, it's an infinite plane, so it doesn't change. So he wanted the arrival time distribution to be invariant under such transformations. And you can clearly see he also needs negative arrival times for his program to proceed, which of course you do not see in the paper because he doesn't put limits on these integrals, and not many people are aware that the program doesn't proceed from here unless you allow for the negative arrival times. Anyways, as many Fs satisfy these axioms, you need further conditions to select a good candidate, a good choice, and I think there he brought in very interesting and new ideas onto the table. And he came up with this functional F0, he came up with a special choice. You can see it looks kind of similar to the Harnoff-Bohm expression that I was showing you before, but he came at it independently and very originally, in my opinion. So he says this guy is a bit unique in the class of Fs that satisfy all those axioms, because this F behaves specially with respect to other Fs that satisfy this axiom. Namely, this expectation value with the negative arrival times is the same for any other F that just follows from the axioms. And he also found the squared variance, or squared moment, second moment, what you call it. So this F0 gives you the minimum, so it kind of bounds from below the squared moment for F that you would get with any other F in that class. So this, from this, he concluded that this F0 is the reasonable guy to define the arrival time distribution. It looks special. And then he proposed this formula, which is written below. By the way, to get this formula, he had to extend his consideration to wave functions that have support on negative momentum. Remember, I told you he looked at initially special states, which have a certain momentum support. That's okay. He made some allowance. And then finally, the expression is this. And if you remember from previous slides, in a one-dimensional context, this would just reduce to the Harnoff-Bohm proposal. So that's nice. So all that is fine. But there are also problems here. And one of the problems was that it's quite interesting that if you pick up just an initial Gaussian wave function with a momentum support as Kijowski wanted, so namely, these kinds. So if you see my hand on the screen, mainly you pick a Gaussian and just multiply it with a theta function, which fulfills this condition. You can show that this functional of Kijowski will violate one of his axioms. So that means you can pick up states which are allowed by this derivation, and you plug it into the distribution, and it will violate one of the axioms, the very axioms that led to it. And this has also not been pointed out in the literature, which you can find in the paper along with concrete calculations. So there are other things one can, of course, complain about, but we are still talking about particles that are moving freely, and that's not getting us much closer to experiments, right? So there was much concern about how to extend these ideas to particles moving in external potentials, and there are quite a few generalizations. All of them have been at least commented upon in the paper that I showed you. And you have most ideas working for scalar potentials. Most of them fail to become even normalizable under such generalizations. I will as a matter of example, I will talk about a distribution that was that came up in the 2000s.
Your time is almost up. Just to
So I'm at the end of the talk. So the idea suggested by these authors was to just replace the time evolving part of the Kijowski distribution by a generic Hamiltonian, and this has been called by some authors as the standard arrival time distribution. So I'm going to show you some pictures, and I wanted to compare it with a distribution that is well known from, well, it, there is much to say about this, but this is a distribution, for example, Bohmians have usually come up with. It's called the quantum flux distribution. This is a gauge invariant quantity. The last thing I want to show you and is I want to compare these two predictions, the standard distribution, which is a generalization of Aronov and Bohm and Kijowski, with a quantum flux distribution, which comes from different considerations, in particular from Bohmian mechanics. So what I'm going to do is look at motion of a particle in a constant magnetic field. And the idea is to use two different vector potentials. One is the famous symmetric gauge one, the another one is just found by adding a scalar potential gradient to it. And what I'm going to show you, and I have to change my window here, just a second. Can you see this change of, okay, that's good. So the last thing I want to show is a picture. So all these distributions could be calculated analytically. I took some Gaussian wave function. The reason I switched to the paper is because it was very difficult to fit these expressions in the slides. But ultimately what happened was you have a picture here, and the black curve here is this quantum flux prediction, which I told you is gauge invariant. I didn't say much about the quantum flux prediction, but it's not a quantum observable in the usual sense of POVM or an operator, but it's certainly coming from alternative approaches to quantum mechanics. That's a gauge invariant prediction. So there is only one curve here, but you see three other curves, which are basically this standard distribution, once you change this free parameter that I put in the gauge function. And you can see they're all different predictions, which is not physically acceptable. And the final thing to note is that in certain gauges, like for certain vector potentials, this so-called standard distribution even fails to be normalizable. So basically that was the main message of the paper, and we have some further calculations. In the end, we concluded that, you know, gauge invariance is a strong requirement that arrival time authors should take seriously. We try to give some minimal conditions under which you can find POVM measures, POV measures, which are gauge invariant. And maybe with a stretch, I would conjecture that I think gauge invariance and the POVM form of the final arrival time distribution might be at odds with each other. So maybe it's time to move on. And with that, I would just rest my case and thank you.